Thank you, Matt, and ladies and gentlemen. Certainly a pleasure to be here today in one of the state's economic powerhouses and the largest, and in my view, one of the most vibrant regional cities in Australia. But I'm probably a little bit biased because I was born in Maitland and my family have been in the Hunter Valley for the last 100 years, so I do know a little bit about this area, and certainly the growth that's been occurring here has just been phenomenal. And the population projections and the growth projections for the next 25 years, as we've heard earlier today from John Tate, are, that the current population, 610,000, expected to grow by 5% per year for the next 25 years, an extra 160,000 people. And when you hear about, the GPT plans, and I walked around Newcastle, what was Newcastle Hospital site last night, site that I remember pretty well, and you realise the old Travelodge, which was there 40 years ago, no longer exists, you really do understand what's happening. But that 5% growth, just to put that in context, many economists believe that if the world in total grew by 4% per annum, that could not be sustained. That is, we wouldn't have the capacity to deal with that sort of world demand. Now, we all know that China's growing about 10%, and it's a pretty important part of the world economy. But a 5% growth is something that, on a worldwide basis, couldn't be sustained. So I guess it's not surprising that there are some pressures showing up, because those sort of growth rates don't just occur easily and overnight, and they take a lot of planning. And we're certainly, in the Department of State and Regional Development and New South Wales Government, are very aware of the growth projections here and what some of the issues are. The Hunter's economic base is rapidly diversifying, shifting from a reliance on traditional primary and secondary industries to a wide range of service industries. It produces about 8% of gross state product and is responsible for about 8% of state employment. However, the workforce participation rate in the Hunter is 59% compared to 63% for New South Wales in total. The average taxable income is about 10% above the rest of regional New South Wales, but about 10% below New South Wales average on total. So whilst there is a lot happening here, there are some areas where we can do some more. Just to recap on the diversity of the economy here, as you all know, I don't need to tell you, coal and mining is a very important industry, $6 billion a year, 93 million tonnes export capacity, 65% of the state's total coal comes from here. We heard much about Newcastle as a coal export port and its poor performance last night. It is worthwhile remembering that it is, despite the poor performance, the world's largest coal export port, with a third coal loader under construction at a cost of $900 million. The region produces 35% of Australia's aluminium. Hunter Valley Wine, one of Australia's top wine growing areas, produces wine annually valued at more than $230 million. And as well as the value of the wine is the value of also adds to the tourism industry. More than 140 wineries and cellars in the Hunter. It's the most visited wine region in Australia, with more than 2.3 million visitors every year. Tourism is a significant industry and vital for the Hunter. It's worth over $1.3 billion and provides employment directly and indirectly to more than 25,000 people. Power generation. The region is home to four power stations that generate 75% of the state's electricity. Defence and aerospace, growing industries with major military bases, including Australia's primary jet fighter. So the Hunter has sophisticated defence infrastructure, world competitive aeronautic, engineering and technology capability. Manufacturing, higher percentage than the rest of the state in terms of the importance to the local economy. 14% of employment represented by manufacturing as against a bit less than 13% for the rest of New South Wales. So what we've got is a very strong and diversified economy. We are fortunate, I suppose, that the resources boom is occurring. I think Nick Greiner referred to what was happening in Newcastle last night as an act of God. I'd prefer to think it was more directly linked to the resources boom and the strong partnerships and direction that the industry and government is providing for the Hunter. I think one of the great strengths of the Hunter is the partnerships that are formed to help drive investment and jobs growth in the region. And it's a recognition that government alone is not responsible, but industry can't do it without government help. And so we have a number of organisations here. We heard from John this morning in terms of the Hunter Economic Development Corporation. The Hunter Economic Development Corporation is one of 13 corporations established by the New South Wales Government, appointed by the New South Wales Government, to provide advice to the government. And we're fortunate to have John as chair of that, and we have a very strong relationship between the Hunter Economic Development Corporation and the Department of State and Regional Development in terms of developing those partnerships. And I need to leave at 12, but Tony Sampson, who's the Regional Director here for State and Regional Development, is available to field any questions or any provide any details of assistance that State and Regional Development can provide for in this region. Similarly, we have a very strong relationship with the Hunter Valley Research Foundation. So what are the plans? Where does the state government see things fitting in? Well, if anything, we have a lot of planning documents. We've got the State Infrastructure Strategy, which has just recently been released. I'll talk about that in a bit more detail. Many of you may not have seen that, but that's quite a comprehensive document. We've got the Lower Hunter Regional Strategy. We've got the Newcastle City Plan. We've got the State Plan. We've got Regional Business Growth Plans, which I'll talk about in more detail. So where does all this fit together? Well, I think it's the understanding and pulling together with State and Regional Development, the private sector, HEDC, and the various other organisations and private sector within the Hunter Valley that enables some of that to be driven. But there are plenty of ideas in terms of what needs to be done. There's plenty of studies being done, and I think clearly the message here, and one that I strongly agree with, is let's identify the priorities and get in and get them done. So, where does this fit with the State Plan? State Plan is a document which has been around for about 18 months now, and it has a significant part of the 34 priorities are devoted to improving and delivering economic prosperity and growth for New South Wales. These are variously named, but the prosperity priorities are what we call the P priorities, P for prosperity. P1 of the state plan sets targets for increased investment growth, and that investment growth captures both expenditure and innovation and capital invested to drive capacity. The target for that is to reach annual private business investment of $80 billion by 2015-2016 at an average 7.2% per annum growth in real terms over the 10 years since the state plan was published in 2006. And you'll be pleased to know that New South Wales is in fact slightly ahead of target in terms of that growth rate. We're quite pleased with that result. And in the Hunter, even though we can't break it out into regional very easily because of problems with stats, I mean, clearly the level of investment that you're talking about in the Hunter is going to help drive that that state plan target very strongly. Our state plan priority P6 is about building stronger regional and rural economies by increasing business investment. Some would see it as a subset of P1, but again, difficulty in stats mean that we can't measure those KPIs particularly accurately. Another key component of the state plan, which impacts here, is about tourism growth. And we're looking at increasing our tourism visitor nights in New South Wales by 25 million visitor nights by 2016. And as I said, Hunter Valley is a very key component in terms of achieving some of those goals. So we've got some clear targets in terms of the state plan, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. In terms of infrastructure, as I said, we have the state infrastructure strategy, which has recently been published. And that document itemises $140 billion of infrastructure expenditure over the next 10 years, breaks it out into six key regional areas, including the Hunter. I won't go into that in detail now. None of you would be unaware of the fact that the former Treasurer has indicated that that state infrastructure strategy and the expenditure is at some risk now. The Premier has indicated that there will be a budget brought down shortly in order to address some of the issues in terms of the difficulties with the recurrent expenditure and the capital expenditure. So you need to read that state infrastructure strategy in the light of any updates with the new budget that comes down. But that $140 billion was a very ambitious target, a very significant increase in expenditure based on the previous 4 years in terms of that $140 billion. And whilst it's not my job to comment about the state budget and the career-limiting move to do so, I might say that I'm glad we've got the state budget and I'm working for the state rather than Lehman Brothers or AIG today. So the private sector can manage to get it pretty wrong too without much help from government. Infrastructure is in New South Wales. The large infrastructure issues are dealt with by the Office of Coordinator General, and the Coordinator General is David Richmond, and head of his area there is Peter Duncan. So, I mean, they're the people who talk about who are the people to talk to in terms of infrastructure, but I sit on a number of joint forums with the ACG, and clearly we feed into that our views about what infrastructure is required in order to promote investment and jobs growth and priorities for regional areas and for Sydney. And I am well aware that in terms of priorities, the fast train link to Sydney is an important issue, one that hasn't had much discussion, but I understand that's generating some interest in the community. The S3 improvements have come through loud and clear. Rail Freight Task Force in terms of the Sydney-Brisbane line and a hub at Beresfield, again, that's come through pretty clearly. And communications and the National Broadband Network have, again, come through as very important issues. The point I'd like to make in relation to these infrastructure issues, and I'll make it again when I talk about the regional business growth plans, is the more clarity we can have about the priorities, the more clarity the state government can have about what the priorities are, and the more joined up industry, HEDC and the various other boards and authorities are in terms of what's required, the easier it is to pass that message through to government and get those priorities sorted out. And I think the Hunter has been very good in terms of articulating those priorities. In terms of planning, I've mentioned a number of the planning documents that have been provided. And it is interesting, we've got the Newcastle City Centre Plan, which John Tate mentioned. We've got, and that's one of six large important regional cities that have been done in this way. The others are Wollongong, Gosford, Parramatta, Penrith and Liverpool. We've got the Lower Hunter Regional Strategy, which again sets out the growth that's required in employment land and residential housing and various other issues there. So I think we've got a significant number of planning documents. I just want to move to the regional business growth plans, and we have available for you the regional business growth plans for the Hunter. These have been released only in the last couple of months. They have been developed in consultation with regional and government stakeholders to make sure we capture the specific local pressures and opportunities. Each plan outlines actions designed to address barriers to business investment and to stimulate economic growth. They also focus on strategies for achieving sustainable growth in the region. And the four strategies, which you'll see spelled out in more detail in this document, relate to: first is infrastructure support for energy, water and transport. The second is planning processes for employment, residential, port and airport. The third is skills strategy to attract and retain. And the fourth is facilitating clean coal and alternative energy. So they provide a framework for the next 12 months. We are looking to have these updated on a regular basis with significant input from the key players in this area. We don't have a specific time frame for those updates, but clearly the more involvement we can have and the more agreement we can have around those regional business growth plans, the clearer and more coherent is the message that we can send. So just to give you an idea of a couple of examples in there, which we touch briefly. One of the benefits of this document is it is only about a six-page document, so it's quite concise and tries to deal with the dot point issues. But you know, we've got the Newcastle Airport Master Plan, which identifies the framework for airport development over the next 20 years. As you'd be aware, there's a 100-hectare site adjacent to the airport in the RAF base, which has been identified as an employment zone to support defence and aerospace activities. We've established a Hunter Defence Forum in the region in April, and Department of State and Regional Development provided $100,000 for that to support a coordinator role for the Hunter Defence Cluster. We've got the Inter-Trade Industrial Park of 100 hectares at the Port of Newcastle. The Freight Hub Employment Land Study I've already mentioned at Beresfield. And we also believe that there's a lot of opportunities in the energy area. I mean, as you could see from those earlier stats, the Hunter Valley is a big producer of energy. So clean coal and alternative energy, you know, is an important and growing sector. So the New South Wales Government has been supportive in financial terms of the multi-million dollar investment in the development of clean coal technology for the Hunter. A couple of examples: Corky's Carbon is establishing a biomass demonstration plant to reduce carbon dioxide emissions through processing waste materials to produce electricity and agricultural char. UCC Energy is developing and expanding an ultra-clean coal demonstration plant at Cessnock, and sister company White Energy is establishing a coal demonstration plant. The government supports the CSIRO Energy Technology Centre, which is developing clean coal technologies, and I think you're going to hear more about that on the agenda today. We have, in fact, through our Innovation Strategy Unit, been involved in a bid to locate the Federal Government Enterprise Connect Clean Energy Centre at the CSIRO Energy establishment in Newcastle. We've got the planned Kyoto Energy Park at Scone, a renewable energy centre comprising nearly 50 wind turbines. So that clean energy and clean coal and alternative energy we think is a significant issue for the Hunter. The other area that I mentioned and we pick up in the state plan and the regional business growth plans is the skills area. I notice there hasn't been as much discussion about that today as there normally is in these forums. Perhaps people are picking up on the fact that things in the world economy and the Australian economy are not quite as strong as they were, and so the potential for more people to be available in the skills area has reduced some of that, but no doubt this will be an area that will be touched on. We've got a number of areas here where we've been working in particular some work with TAFE undertaking a review to identify future demands through mapping growth trends and opportunities in various industries. An ongoing consultation and close cooperation exists between the Hunter Institute of TAFE and the key industry sectors, as well as DSRD. A future project will examine the metals engineering, manufacturing and electrotechnology growth sectors. This project will identify new and emerging skill sets required to address new technologies and implement strategies to address growth. The Hunter and Mid-Coast Aboriginal Preparation Scheme offers participants an opportunity to undertake preparatory training in local industry and identified skill shortage areas, followed by work experience and workplace mentoring in local industries. And stage two of the Professional Skilled Attraction Scheme includes recruitment of town planners, engineers and doctors to the Hunter. These are a couple of examples of how we're planning to address the skills shortages that are impacting on the ability in the Hunter. In conclusion, I'd just like to reiterate a couple of comments that I made during my presentation. Firstly, there are a lot of documents and studies that have been done which set out in a fair bit of detail what's required for this area. Secondly, I believe we've got a very strong partnership between government, various authorities and the private sector in the Hunter, and it's that joined up approach which I think is largely responsible for the good progress that's been made in the Hunter over the past 15 years or so. And I just reiterate that we have Tony Sampson here today, who's the Regional Director of DSRD. As a department, our key responsibility is about getting increased business investment in New South Wales and in the Hunter Valley, and that's something that I'm very focused on, and certainly I know that the new Minister for the Hunter is very focused on it as well. I've had a few briefings with her already, and Jodie, as you all know, is fairly passionate about the Hunter. So I think there is a lot to be done. I think this is a tremendously exciting region. I think there are some terrific opportunities here. The world economy and the resources boom are some of the imponderables, but I think if you look at the track record of what's been achieved over here in the last 15 years, you'd have to be very optimistic about the future of Newcastle and the Hunter. Thank you.